Okay, this week, Shabbos, Parshas Devarim, Shabbos Chazoin. Okay, Shabbos Chazoin. We did not yet get up to in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, but I found it very interesting. In the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, the only time it says that you're supposed to give the Rav Maftir is Shabbos Chazoin. Okay, it's the custom, you give the Rav Shabbos Shuvah, Shabbos Agadol. The only place that the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch writes that you give the Rav Maftir is Shabbos Chazoin. So there must be something very special about Shabbos Chazoin. Okay. Okay. Interesting. Or maybe they're trying to send a message. Okay, rabbi jokes. Okay, let's begin now. Okay, I want to begin with a remes, a beautiful remes I came across in some chassidish sefer. This Shabbos Chazon is the finale of the Gimel Di Paranusa. We lay in the various different types of haftorahs throughout the year. Generally, we lay in haftorah Parshas Hashavua, and then sometimes we lay in Me'ena Hamo'ira if it's Rosh Chodesh, Yom Tov, Chanukah. There's a minig of there's a chosan, you learn a special haftarah, so it's osis. And then there is the Gimel Di Paranusa and the Zayin Di Nechemta. 3 weeks leading to Tisha B'Av, we learn three haftarahs of Musar, two from Yirmiyah and one from Yeshaya, and then seven from Yeshaya, which are words of Nechama. But this week is the culmination of the Gimel Di Paranusa. Each The haftarah of the first week of the Bein HaMetzarim begins with Divrei Yirmiyahu ben Chilkiyahu. It begins with a Dalit. The haftarah for Parashas, the second week of the Bein HaMetzarim, is Shimu Devar Hashem. It begins with a Shin. And this week it begins with a Ches, Chazon Yeshayahu ben Amotz. Dalit, Divrei, Shimu, Shin, Ches, Chazoin, or the three letters, but not in that order, spell the word Chodosh, or Chadesh, to renew. We generally associate renewal with Chodesh Nisan. In Chodesh Nisan, we read, HaChodesh Hazel Lechem Rosh Chodoshim is a time of renewal. But to some degree, and perhaps even to a greater degree, the time of renewal is the time of the Bein HaMetzarim. The time of the Bein HaMetzarim, when we focus on the Churban, and we reflect what we have lost, and what we yearn for, it's a break point during the year. It's a time where we take inventory of where we're holding in history, where we're holding in Golus, what are our she'ifas. It's a time to renew, a time of hischatshus, a time of chadesh. These three haftarahs, the Gimel Di Paranusa, it's not a time to mimiyayish, to lose hope, and the other opposite, to come go forward and to strengthen ourselves. Now, on that note, I just want to mention something else that's interesting. Is the Farshan point out that the Kadosh Baruch Hu, by giving us these three by Chazal selecting these three haftarahs, they're telling us that we have to work on three different parts of our lives. Divrei Yirmiyahu is lashon dibur, is speech. Shimu is listening, is the ear, the peh, the oizen, and this week's haftarah is Chazon Yeshayo, is the eyes. Three major parts of the body which we use to communicate. The eyes to communicate and to absorb, to take in information and to communicate. The eyes, the ears, and the speech. These are the three critical parts of our things which we have to, parts of our being which we have to use to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, in this week's parasha, the three come together once again. In the parasha, forget about the Haftorah, we begin with Ele HaDvarim. Dvarim, these are the words, Dibor. Then we go to Moshe Rabbeinu when he appoints the leaders of Klal Yisrael. He tells them, Shemoya Bein Acheichem Ushefatetem Tzedek. Your role shall be to listen well to the people. Shemoya Bein Acheichem. And then when Moshe Rabbeinu appoints Yehoshua, he says to him that with Yehoshua, you have seen. Let me read the words of the Pasuk. When he appoints Yeshua, Hashem has done. Yes, Yeshua Tzidesi, Bo Esahi Leimar, Einecha Horois. Your eyes have seen Esa Shosa Hashem Alechem Lishnam Alechem Elekin Yasa Hashem Lechem Alechem Shato Ivershama. Your eyes have seen. So over here we have over here, and even when we come to the finale of the 3 weeks, the Ben Amitzam, even in the parasha itself, we have an emphasis on these, the beginning of the parasha, the middle of the parasha, the end of the parasha. We start with the Koyach HaDibor. Moshe says, Ele HaDvarim, the Koyach HaDibor. We go to the Koyach of Shmiya, of Shemoy Ben Echechem Ushafatatem Tzedek, and then we go to the Koyach of Re'iyah, Chazoin, Yeshua Tzivesi, Bo'es Lima, Inecho Horois. Okay, let's go to another idea. The parasha begins with the word Ele HaDvarim. On the one hand, the word Devarim, Rashi right away tells us that these are words of Toichacha. Lefi Shehein Divrei Toichachais, Umonekan Kol HaMakomis HaShehichisu Lefnei HaMakom. The pasuk goes on to enumerate seven different places, or really eight places here, but Rashi lists seven different sins, seven different averos that Klal Yisrael have committed in the Midbar from the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And because Moshe wanted to give Musa Klal, but he did not want to embarrass them openly, he was merames by listing these seven places. So that's why we start with Ilah HaDvarim. The word Dvarim has a connotation of sharp, harsh words, Divrei Toichacha, and Moshe only said it derech remez mibnei kevoidon shel Yisrael. So on the one hand, we're dealing here with words of Musar. The Medrash on this pasuk says, why did the Chumash Devarim open up with the word Ele HaDvarim? Because the word Devarim is related to the word Devora, a bee. And a bee, that's the question. The Medrash doesn't really explain the bee. We want to relate to the concept of a bee. So similarly, you can say a bee produces honey. Honey is sweet. Torah is sweet. This begins Mishneh Torah, the Chazara, the review of Chamisha Chumshei Torah, of the four books of the Torah. It's a Chazara. Torah is sweet. But bee produces sweetness. So we focus on the creature called the Devora. Then I wanted to just suggest to Jewish that these two ideas really go together. If we study Chazal, study science, we become aware that there, bees are extremely unique creatures. Bees, from all the different creatures in this world, I'm not sure there's any creature that is so orderly like the bee. The bee has had, they pledge their allegiance to the queen bee. There's a queen bee. They have a hierarchy. They have leadership. Among the animal kingdom, where do we find there to be an orderly system of leadership where they appoint the queen bee to serve as their head? The bees, if you just go online and you read about bees, it's fascinating. They have give kavod to the bee, the mother bee. Never will a bee stand in front of the queen bee. There's fear for the queen bee. The bees, they have a labor system. Some bees collect pollen. Some bees clean. They purify the honey. There are some bees that are busy building the nest. Every bee in this system has a role, has a function. There is extreme cleanliness. V'hoya machanecha kadosh. In a beehive, there's no tolerance for waste. Any waste has to be excreted or removed outside. They're loyal to the queen. There's an extreme system of labor and mission. They really personify what we all should be. Ele HaDvarim is something where Klal Yisrael, the Medrash is trying to tell us that if we want to succeed in life, we should emulate the bee. But on the other hand, the bee also represents the concept of Musar. Ele HaDvarim, Moshe Rabbeinu over here is coming to give Musar to Klal Yisrael. So what is the connection between these two? So the answer is very simple. In order for a person to succeed in giving Musar, the person himself has to be perfect. The leader has to be perfect. The person that has mission, has a purpose, is clean, has a function. A person who has achieved the midos of a bee, he is entitled. He has the ability, the right to give musar, rebuke, chastise other people. A person that does not have the midah of a bee, kashoit atzmecha, v'achar kein kashoit achim. A person has to first purify yourself before you can purify someone else. There's another midah, very very sad midah that is found by the bee. When a bee stings, it dies. Chazal tells us that Yaakov Avinu, he delayed giving Musa to his children until the end of his life. Why? Because it is a reality, it is a mitzias that one cannot avoid. When you give someone Musa, there is collateral damage. There is a price to pay. No matter how soft and how kind, how gentle you are in giving Musa to someone, they will always resent it. Deep down inside, there will be a feeling of resentment, and they will never relate to you the same way. Chazal tell us that Yaakov Avinu delayed. Yaakov Avinu gave Musa to Klal Yisrael at the very end of his life because he knew that if after he gives Musa, the children are not going to want to learn from him and relate to him like it was before. Therefore, he waited to the very last moment before he died to give them Musa, so they would to minimize the collateral damage. Anyway, he's no longer here, so there's no harm done. And then Rashi there quotes, and we find the same exact thing by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu here is now about to die. Moshe could have given the Musa, Eilah HaDvarim, the entire Chumash Devarim is full, chock full of Musa. Plenty of Musa. He just starts out with Erech Remes, but he goes on to give a long tirade of a very harsh Musa. This was right before he died. He died shortly thereafter. The whole Chumash Devarim took 37 days. It began Chodesh Shvat and went into Zayin Adar. It was 37 days. After this, he died, and there was no longer any harm of Moshe Rabbeinu of distancing Klal Yisrael. This is the midah of the bee. The bee is the perfect creature. It is orderly, it has a sense of mission, a sense of a purpose. But when the bee stings, when the bee gives musar, when it stings a person, it dies. Eila hadvarim. Moshe Rabbeinu is the bee. Moshe Rabbeinu is the paradigm of mission, purpose, order, seder, diligence. And Moshe Rabbeinu is now coming to sting Klal Yisrael. And with the sting that he will inflict upon Klal Yisrael, he's paying the price, the collateral damage, that now in 37 days he will depart. And that's exactly why Moshe waited until this point in time, until he would give the Moses. So there's a very strong relationship between these two ideas. The bee, Ele Hadvarim, these are harsh words of Musar, but the one that's giving the Musar is the Devora, is the bee, is Moshe Rabbeinu. It's the queen bee. And Moshe Rabbeinu has all the midos of the bee, all the ideals of the bee. And Moshe Rabbeinu is now coming to sting like a bee. But the sting of the bee has the collateral damage of Misa, and that's exactly what Moshe is happening here. It's setting the tone of what's happening here in Chumash, the beginning of Chumash Devarim.
The honeybee or the other kind of bee?
What?
This honeybee or the other?
We're dealing with a honeybee. Let's deal with a regular honeybee. Okay, let's go. I wanted to share with you another remes. Shabbos Hazoin in our generation, in our generation, the trend. There's Chiluke Deos. There are many different opinions among the Achroinim how one should conduct himself during Shabbos Hazoin. During the 9 days, the laws of Avelus are pretty severe. The minhagim are pretty serious. No meat, no wine. You're not allowed to dress in big day Shabbos. I didn't know this halacha. Do you know that if you go to a bris, let's say you go to a bris, so the Baal HaBris, he wears, he's allowed to shave, he's allowed to wear, he's allowed to take a haircut, he's allowed to shave, he wears big day Shabbos. Who's allowed to do this? The Baal HaBris, the Moyel, the Sandik, and even the grandparents. But I was reviewing these halachas about going, I'm going to a bris on Monday, so I'm just looking over the halachas. It says there, but be aware that when you go to a bris, some people who are part of the family, when they go to a bris, they wear big day Shabbos. You see this very often. It depends. If you just stam in shul and making a bris, whatever. But if you're part of the family, you're very close to the Baal Simcha, it's not so uncommon for the people in the family to wear big day Shabbos when you attend the bris milah. So the halacha is, during the 9 days, I don't know this halacha, you're not allowed to wear big day Shabbos. During the week, you're not allowed to wear big day Shabbos. Ad kedei kach, if you go to the bris, and you're not the Baal HaBris, you're not the Sanik, you're not the Mo, you're not the grandparents, you're not allowed to put on your big day Shabbos. Unbelievable halacha. Today, unfortunately, we're not so sensitive, because most people think when they go to the bris, they anyway don't wear big day Shabbos. But people who wear big day Shabbos, you're not allowed to do so. That remains. What about on Shabbos itself? Are you allowed to wear big day Shabbos and Shabbos itself? So in the olden days, different communities, it was the trend not. It was the custom on Shabbos. Can you imagine? I think they still do it in Broyers by the Yekas in Washington Heights. I'm not mistaken. You come Friday night to Shul Shabbos morning, you come in your jeans. You come to Shul on Shabbos in big day. No. Shabbos Chazoin, you wear big day choil. This used to be the custom. It used to be the custom among many Ashkenazim. Over the years, the trend has gone to the extreme opposite, where there is absolutely no limitation on Shabbos. Ad kedei kach, that in certain shuls, if you would dare lane, say, come to shul and sing l'chadodi in the nigun of Elit Zion, they would throw you out of shul. Because how dare you be mezalzel in the Kedusha Shabbos with the nigun of Elit Zion? Echa eso levadi, tomorrow's laning, so we all brought up, of course, you sing in the nigun of Echa. There are many communities that you wouldn't dare do so. You don't introduce Echa into the nigun of Shabbos because of the Kedusha of Shabbos. Now, that's the way I was brought up. That's the way it appears to be the trend, that on Shabbos Chazoin is 100% Kedusha Shabbos. All the laws of Avelos fall away. The only thing we'll do is a little bit Elit Zion, Echa Salavadi, just small tokens, but Big Day Shabbos and Suda Shabbos, Keshlemi Keshaitai, and whatever you want. There are no limitations whatsoever. Now, just as this cute little remiss to this idea, I found something which I found very intriguing, is we have Shabbos, Chazal tells about Shabbos, Matana Toiva Nostal Lechem. Yitzmach Moshe B'matnas Chelka. Shabbos in Chazal is called the Matana, it's called the gift. If you have a house, and you want to sell the house, and you're selling it for a set price, and you have bids, people coming from all over the world, they want to buy the house, and your next door neighbor knocks on the door and says, you know, I also want to buy this house, and I'll pay you the same price that someone else offered. It's called Dina de Bal Metra, and according to the laws of Shulchan Aruch, the Dina de Bal Metra, he wins. Everyone else will fly a kite. Your next door neighbor is able, has a right to demand, I'm buying the house next door to you. Let's say you tell your next door neighbor, I'm not selling, I'm giving my house as a gift. I have a friend who lives on the other side of the world, I want to gift my home to him. So you say to them, but I'm your neighbor. I need to, my family, we're expanding, we're incorporating, we need the extra space. We need the extra space. I'm not selling, I'm giving as a gift. So the next door neighbor, he loses. He can go to court, he can scream all he wants. The laws of Dina de Bar Metz are only true with regard to a Mecher, not with regard to a Matana. Shabbos is the ultimate gift. And when Shabbos be Matana, there's no Dina de Bar Metzra. This Tkufa is called the Tkufa of the Bein HaMetzarim, of the Meitzar. And during, when it comes to Shabbos the Matana, when we have a Matana of Shabbos, there's no din of Bar Mitzvah, there's no Bein HaMetzarim, the Bein HaMetzarim fall away, there's no limitation. Shabbos Kodesh, you can do on Shabbos the full Adraba, it's a chizik to Shabbos to do whatever you want. Nice, right? I don't know where I saw this. This is not my vart. I saw this in the Chassidish Sefer. I don't even need to quote a source. I think it just...
No exchange.
Okay, this is okay. Let's now go to another idea. Okay, we have here a beautiful bracha. I find this idea to be real heavy duty. This var, I'll tell you where it comes. Var, I don't even have where it comes. This is not my var. I know where I saw this, but I don't remember the name of the sefer. I see the sefer in front of me, but I don't know the name of the sefer. And it's a likud, and it's quoting another sefer. But let me tell you a beautiful vart. Moshe Rabbeinu here in the beginning of this parasha gives a bracha to Klal Yisrael. The bracha is Yois Hashem Yosef Hashem Elokeichem Hirbaschem. Hashem Rabbeinu gives them a bracha. Moshe is about to die, 37 days to go, and Moshe gives a bracha. May he increase upon you 1,000 times. And besides that, all the commentators are disturbed, perplexed, intrigued. Why Moshe gave this bracha 1,000 times? What is this? 1,000 times? Elef pa'amim. They stop. Diuk, it says, it should say elef pa'am. Why does it say pe'amim? There are many diyukim you can make, but the general question is, what is going on? Hashem already gave us brachas to be like the stars, to be like the sands the kernel of sand of the sea. What is Moshe coming and giving a bracha 1,000 times? 1,000 is a limitation. What is this all about? So question is, let me ask you a general question. You go to a chacham. People go to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. He should be well and live and be well. Go to other Gedolei Yisrael and ask for a bracha. So let's say they'll say to you, what do you want a bracha? Tell me, what, be more specific. The more specific you are, the more chance it'll work. If you ask for a catch-all bracha, it's a weak bracha. You have to be specific. What do you want? Oh, I want a shidduch. I want parnasa. I want children. I want refuah. I want good health. Okay, you have something specific. You want siyat d'shmai in learning. Okay, these are all beautiful. What is the ultimate bracha you can ask a godel for? So someone once told me, I know someone, I had a chaver in yeshiva, and he always took pride in the fact that when he was a child, his parents on Rosh Hashanah took him to Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zechet Zag Levracha, for a bracha, and Rav Moshe Feinstein gave a bracha that you should be a yorei shamai. That was the bracha of Rav Moshe Feinstein. He didn't give him a bracha for a good year. He told me this. Parenting was a very serious matzav. They took him to Rav Moshe on Rosh Hashanah, a little child, and Rav Moshe put his hands on the child. He should be a Yorei Shemayim. And this person, he had a lot of satisfaction. A lot of satisfaction from that bracha. He was very pleased. And over time, it made an impression upon me. You know, that's right. That's the real bracha. Reishis chachma yiras Hashem. That really is the ultimate bracha. Reishis chachma yiras Hashem. Mo Hashem elokecha shoyl meimach. Kim li yiroisa. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from you? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants yiras shamayim. Akol bidei shamayim chutz miyir shamayim. Everything else is bashert. Parnasa, children, shiduchim, refuah. All of these things, how much already are you going to wiggle? What really is up to you is you need siyata d'shmaya that you should have yira shemayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should withhold, to the Chazon Ish says, should take away all of the distractions. In this world, we will be distracted. If we'll take away all the distractions, Menela will have more. Will be more prone to be yorei shamayim. It is truly the ultimate bracha. This is the bracha of Moshe Rabbeinu here. How do I know this? Because what is the gematria? Let me explain. What is the gematria of Yira Shamayim? Anyone quick with their calculator? Quick minds? Yiras Shamayim. Yud Resh Aleph Sof Shin Mem Yud Mem. 1,001. What? Before you go to 1,001, what is the significance of 1,001? Before we go further, you can right away figure out the var. But where do we go further? In the Aleph base, what's the last number of the Aleph base? This is a little bit off the topic, but just to appreciate what the number 1,001 means, is all about. What is 1,000? What is the number, the first letter? Aleph. Aleph is 1. Okay, then base, gimel, dal, hey, we go up to the letter Yud. Then we go from Yud all the way to the letter Tzadi, to 9. Go through all the tens. And then we come to Kuf. Kuf is 100. And then we come to Reish is 200. Then we come to Shin is 300. Then we come to Tav, 400. Ah, we're finished. 400. So the highest number in the Torah is 400. Right? It's very strange. The Torah stops after 400. And of course, the Mamari Chazal, the Gemara has Guzmos. Many Guzmos have the number 400. We discussed this once. There's a Guzma of 300 and a Guzma of 400. One is a Ruchnius, the Guzma, one is a Gashmis. But that's not the end of the Alphas. There are the five letters of the Man Sepach. There is the En Chaf, there is the En Mem, the end Nun, the end Tzadi, the end going back to the end Pei, and the end Tzadi. Anyone that I missed one of them? Okay, the end. So according to the Svarim, that those numbers also are have gematrios. The end Chaf is the gematria of 500 in one numbering system. So we have Aleph through Taf is 400. Then comes Chaf Seifis, which is 500. Then comes Mem, 600. Then comes Nun is 700. Then comes Pei is 800. And then comes Tzadi, the end Tzadi, which is 900. What's the next letter? What comes after 900? 1,000. What's 1,000? Aleph. Aleph. Aleph, Aleph. How do you spell Aleph? Aleph, Lamed, Pei. How do you spell Aleph? Aleph, Lamed. They're exactly the same. The numbers in the Aleph Beis are not linear. They're circular. When you get to the very end, after you go Aleph to Tav, and then you go to the five end letters, the next letter, it goes on forever. It's an infinite cycle. It is the letter Aleph, which is really Aleph, which is 1,000. So the letters of the Aleph Beis really take us from 1 to 1,000. We start with an Aleph and we end with Aleph. What is 1 plus 1,000? 1,001. 1,001 represents the number. 1,001, it represents Shlemus. It represents the totality. The Aleph Beis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with the Aleph Beis. Sefer HaYetzirah, it's the blueprint for creation. Aleph Beis captures everything. Aleph Bina, knowledge, learn Torah. The Aleph Beis, the Kinnis coming up this week. Kinnis, many Kinnis are arranged in the arrangement of the Aleph Beis. Forwards, backwards, all different types of sets of Aleph Beis, because the Aleph Beis captures everything. The first letter is 1, the last letter is 1,000. 1,001, it captures everything. And 1,001 also is the gematria of Yiras Shemaim. Exactly, no games, no extra letters. It's 1,001. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, Mo Hashem Elokecha Shel Meimach, Kim Liyire Oysa. I want you to fear. That's all Hashem wants. Everything else, Hakol B'Dei Shemayim, Yire Shemayim. Moshe Rabbeinu is about to die. Let me give you a bracha. Moshe was like a Moshe Feinstein. Who is who? Which way? Okay? The Mitzvahs and Rashi. Mi Moshe V'ad Moshe. What's the bracha of Moshe Rabbeinu? Yosef Hashem. Hashem should add. Whatever Hashem has given you, Hashem gives you an Aleph, Hashem should give you another 1,000. And what will be the sum? Yosef Hashem Aleichem Kochem Aleph Palmim. You have one, Hashem gives you one, Hashem should give you 1,000 more. Yeah, but that's not 1 times 1,000. That's a mistake. It doesn't say multiplied. It says Yosef. Yosef means to add. Okay, what's the word multiply in Hebrew? I don't know. But it's Yosef. It means addition, not multiplication. Therefore, it's 1 plus another 1,000, which equals 1,001. 1,001 is the number which is symbolic of Lo Hashem Elokecha Shel Meimach Kim Liyir Oiso Yir HaShemayim. This is Moshe Rabbeinu's mantra. This is his call. Hashem should give you all the bracha. You should all be Yorei Shemayim. It's the most beautiful bracha you can possibly get. It's the bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu gave Klal Yisrael, and it is the only thing which the only true bracha, because everything else really is already to some degree predetermined. Okay, let's go to another idea. Now this idea, I have to develop in different steps. Okay, first thing I want to point out is, let's just start, it's not really the word, just it's a classic, so just kedai to say over very quickly. We have repetition in the beginning of Chumash Tavar. Ela hadvarim. Here are the words. Asher adibe moishel kol yisrael b'vahayardin. Bamidbar. Barabbal, so on and so forth, and then he goes on. Then pasuk, jump ahead, pasuk gimel. Vayhi be'arbarim shana be'ashtei asur chodesh be'chol chodesh. Nachamal, diber Moshe el bnei Yisrael kuchol asher tziv Hashem oiso aleihem. But wait, didn't we already have that introduction in pasuk gimel when it says that diber Moshe? But it said that in pasuk aleph. Ela harem asher diber Moshe. There is repetition. If you were writing chumash tavarim, you would not repeat these words. It says in pasuk aleph. Ela harem asher diber Moshe. Moshe spoke kol Yisrael. And the pasuk gimel, it says exactly the same thing again. Diber Moshe el bnei Yisrael. What's going on over here? Why is there repetition? And then he goes on later on. It goes on to explain. What's going on? So it's a beautiful classic vart from the Briskerov. The Briskerov says that Moshe served two functions. We call Moshe often Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe our teacher. It's Moshe Emes v'Torasai Emes. But Moshe is also known as the Av HaNevi'im. And in fact, in the Rambam, in the Yugibali Karim, just in addition to having emunah that all the words of the prophets are true, we also have an obligation to believe that Moshe stands above all the other prophets. Moshe was the Av HaNeviim. There's a very big difference between a prophet and a Rebbe. They have different roles. The main role of a prophet is to give Musar. Study Musar. Someone once told me, you want to learn Musar? Don't learn Nevesil Shisharim. Don't spend your time learning Chavis HaLevavos. Don't learn. Don't focus. You want to learn Musar? You learn the Nevi'im. You learn Yeshaya. You learn Treyasar. Learn Yechezkel. Learn Yirmiyah. Learn the prophets. The prophets are the Balei Musar. All of the Musar Svarim quote Mila B'Mila over and over the words of the Nevi'im. So instead of go to the Achreinim who are quoting from the Nevi'im, we might as well go to the source and study the words of Musar. The role of a Navi is not, we're brainwashed. We think a Navi, we live in a world of smoke and mirrors, and glitter and glamour, and publicity, PR. So Navi is a Gadol Hadar. The Navi is someone that's going to tell you what's going to happen when Mashiach comes. That's not a Navi. Those are just fringe benefits of being a Navi. Those are just fringe benefits. Those are just perks that the Navi gets. He knows what's going to be. He's in the spotlight. But the real role of the Navi is to give Musar, is Musar rebuke. Moshe serves two roles for Klal Yisrael. Number one, he serves the role as a Navi, as a Navi. He's the Av HaNaviim. And Moshe is also Moshe Rabbeinu. He's also our teacher. Chumash Devar begins by revealing to us the two Moshe Rabbeinu is departing, he's leaving, and Moshe here is presenting the two different aspects, dimensions of his personality. Number one, he is Eileh HaDevarim, this is Musar. Devarim, Eileh HaDevarim is Musar, Asher Diber Moshe, as a Bal Musar, as a Navi. Moshe here is going to say harsh words of criticism. And when you give Musar b'derech remiza. And then when the Pasuk repeats the Pasuk Gimel and it goes in, Behibar Mshana b'shabacha, so now Nochmal, Diber Moshe, El Kol Yishon Moshe speaks to us in addition as our Rebbe, our teacher. And that's why Pasuk Gimel flows into Pasuk Dalet, which says, Hoyel Moshe Be'er, Pasuk Kei, Hoyel Moshe Be'er, to explain. Our Rebbe repeats himself, he explains things in clear detail. Unlike a prophet that just gives you the Rosh Hashanah and gives you the words of Musar. So that's one very important idea, one very important yisoid. The Moshe is the Av HaNeviim, and Moshe is also Moshe Rabbeinu. And we begin here, Chumash Devarim, with being Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, that's one yisoid. Moshe is coming to give us Musar as a Navi, is the beginning of Chumash Devarim. Okay, now here's the question. The first Pasuk lists eight places. Eiver HaYarden, Bamidbar, Barava, Molsof, Bein Paran, Bein Tov. You have to count in detail. Rashi says each one of these places refers to a different location in the Midbar, a different event, a different sin. A lot of the commentators, they dissect Rashi. They're not very happy with Rashi's explanation of the words in the Pasuk, because the words that are the places and the events that Rashi connects to the words are some of them appear to be a little bit forced. And in addition, it's not in perfect order. It's not in chronological order. The events that Rashi present are not in order. And also Rashi only lists seven, when really there are eight. There are eight. So there are other opinions. And I want to just work now for the moment, in order to make things a little bit easier, with the opinion of the Avos de Rabbeinu Nosson. Avos de Rabbeinu Nosson preceded Rashi quite a bit. Rashi is really taken from other Midrashim. But there's Avos de Rabbeinu Nosson, which also learns the pasuk in this fashion, that it's words of Musar. Each location each location is an event. But he says the first event that's mentioned, not like Rashi. Rashi puts di zahav, the egel, the cheto egel, according to Rashi, is mentioned at the very, very end. Even though the cheto egel was really one of the first. He says that the cheto egel in this sequence is repeated twice. Number one, Bamidbar, the Avos Rabbeinu is the first thing. He spoke to Klal Yisrael be'Eiver HaYarden, that's not Musar. Bamidbar. Avos Rabbeinu says Bamidbar refers to the Chet or Egel, and based upon a Targum. The Targum says, Vayoshes el Hamidbar Panav. Bilam turned his face towards the Midbar. The Targum Yonis ben Uziel, Vishave, he turned Lekabel towards Egla, the Egel, the Avdu Yisrael b'Midbar Apoi, his face. So when Bilam wanted to curse Klal Yisrael, he picked up on the weakness of Klal Yisrael. The weakness of Klal Yisrael was what they did in the desert in the Cheto Egel. But it says, Dizahav at the very end of this pasuk, Enochinami. The Cheto Egel is so severe, is so serious, that Moshe Rabbeinu mentioned it twice. The first and the last. The pasuk begins, Bamidbar, the Cheto Egel, and then there was a Sinabar Rava, Molsof, Poron, Tofel, Lavon, Vachatzeros, and Nochamal, Moshe, we bind them, and don't forget, my people, that you did a very big Avera. You did the Cheto Egel. In other words, that's the sandwich, the Kurech. I'm going to start by giving you Musa with the Cheto Egel, and I'm going to end by giving you Musa with the Cheto Egel, because that's the Shoresh of all the sins, all of the other sins that you have committed in the Midbar, all are rooted in your rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of worshipping the Egel, abandoning HaKadosh Baruch Hu after he gave you the Torah. We begin with the Egel, we end with the Egel. Okay? That's one Yisait. Okay, one important Yisait. So two Yisaitas. Moshe is giving Musar, Midin Navi, another gives Musar, and we're starting with the Egel, and we're ending with the Egel. Okay, next Yisait. Next Yisait is, when exactly did this happen, this event happen? Moshe Rabbeinu, question, is giving Musa b'derech remes. He says one word, he refers to a location with a unique word, and that is supposed to trigger in the mind of Klal Yisrael an event, a reminder. Since when is Moshe Rabbeinu give Musa with remes? But the whole Chumash Devarim, Moshe is extremely explicit in his Musa to Klal Yisrael. And here, all of a sudden, the Kvoidan Shel Yisrael, Kvoidan Shel Yisrael, just code words, you figure it out. Why? Why suddenly the change of style? Moshe Rabbeinu was not known to be Mekatzer. Moshe was a talker. He got Kvad Peh, but after he was healed, he liked to put on a good show. What's all of a sudden the short expressions? A very, very basic question. What is going on? Okay, but Moshe Rabbeinu, he knows how to talk. He's saying goodbye. He can speak up. Okay, now here comes the next question. Well, when did this next site? When did this event take place? The event takes place. It says Sibeferish Be'arboim Shana in the 40th year Be'ashtei Asor Chodesh Be'echad LaChodesh on the first day of the 11th month. Which month was that? The 11th month is Shvat. Adar is the 12th month. Nisan is the first month. Going from Nisan, Achodesh Azel Lochem Rosh Chodeshim. When is Mishneh Torah be taking place? The Pasuk is explicitly telling us Mishneh Torah is taking place Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Okay, middle of the winter, right before Tu B'Shvat. 15 days before Tu B'Shvat, Rosh Chodesh Shvat, Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking, and Moshe Rabbeinu is going to die in Zayin Adar. 37 days before he dies. Okay. Now, next question: when did Aaron HaKohen die? Rosh Chodesh Av. This past Monday was Rosh Chodesh Av. Everyone knows Rosh Chodesh Av. Everyone was talking in shul. It's the yard site of Aaron HaKohen. Aaron went up to the Hor HaHor. We've learned this last week. This death appears in detail in Chumash in Parshas Chukas. It doesn't say the other date. The only place where it tells us the date is in Parshas Maaseh. Maaseh, it says Aaron was told to ascend to Har HaHor. He died. And the pasuk explicitly says, give me one second. Here is the Aaron ben Shalosh. Okay, v'yashem shalom v'ashem b'osim harahar. The pasuk says v'ayisum yetsim v'yal Aaron akoyin al harahar al pi Hashem v'yom Hashem when b'shnas ho arboim. Okay, the very end, just like it says over here in Parashas Devarim, at the very end. Let's say shalom yetsim b'chodesh hachamishi in the fifth month. The fifth month, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av, the fifth month, Be'echal HaChadosh. And this pasuk is even recorded in Shulchan Aruch. If you don't trust the Bible, you can trust Rav Yosef Cairo. In Shulchan Aruch, there's a minute to fast. There's a minute to fast on certain days of the year. One of the days that he's supposed to fast is on Rosh Chodesh Av. Even though generally we do not fast on Rosh Chodesh Av is the exception. We discussed this week, there are opinions that the Chumris, the severity, Mishenichnas Av, Lemat and Besimcha, there are degrees, there are aspects of Chumrah that are things that are more severe about Rosh Chodesh Av than even Tisha B'Av itself. Rosh Chodesh Av is a very serious day, the Petira of Aaron HaKohen. Okay, Aaron dies in the fifth month, Rosh Chodesh Av. Fast forward now to the 11th month, and Moshe Rabbeinu begins to begin Mishneh Torah. Correct? Let's mount the Pollock. This is the Halacha. Halacha Shulchan Aruch, Aaron died the fifth month. There is an amazing Ralbag. Ralbag is off the charts. It's very hard to get a Ralbag, by the way. The Ralbag, unless you have Ralbag. Okay, it's not in the Mikros Gedolos, even though it's a lot of the Mikros Gedolos for Nevi'im, but you have to get a Ralbag. If you don't trust me, look in Parashas Chukas, in the To'eles HaShlishi. And it's also in Chumash Devarim, in this week's Parasha, the Ralbag very clearly says that Aaron HaKoyen died on Rosh Chodesh Shavat. Doesn't talk about Mishneh Torah. He said, "Oh, but it says in the pasuk, Bachodesh Hachamishi, in the fifth month." Yeah, the fifth month from Tishrei. Tishrei. Okay, and the new critical edition of the Ralbag, there's a long footnote, big star, Rosh Chodesh Shvat, a long footnote. What in the world is Ralbag saying, counting from Tishrei? He goes to the Gemara, Mefalpel, and he proves that there are very strong sources to indeed explain that the fifth month Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev, Teves, Shvat. Shvat, Rosh Chodesh Shvat. And it says in the Pasuk it was in the 40th year. And the same Ralbag says that when it says in this in Chumash Devarim, be Ashtei Asa Chodesh in the 11th month, now here when it says 11th month, it means 11 months from when? 11 months from Nisan. So that's all it says. I have a safe. I have a very poor memory, and a lot of things I don't even know. I don't even know what I'm going to say until the last minute. So it's too late to go back to find the swarm and try and find you all the sources. But it comes out a Dover Pella that according to the Ralbag, Mishneh Torah took place on the day that Aaron died. Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Hor Hohor with Aaron. He buried his brother Aaron. He comes down from the mountain, and he now says, "Let me teach you Mishneh Torah." And by the way, that Ralbag himself says it has to mean that all of the wars, the Melchemes Midyon, all the action—it's a bizarre Ralbag. All the action, an enormous amount of things have to be recalculated. How what happened in the middle? We all assume that things happened gradually over 40 years. According to the Ralbag, almost nothing happened for 40 years. Everything, even the Masos, all the Masos happened in the last 37 days. In the last 37 days. It's a very, very big chiddush, but this is what the Ralbag says. The Ralbag has this kind of this approach. It comes out then that Mishneh Torah began the moment after Aaron died. In other words, so what am I trying to bring out? This comes out, it's a very, very big chiddush, and it opens up a whole new understanding of Chumash Devarim. Mishneh Torah, the beginning at least of Mishneh Torah, was Moshe Rabbeinu's hesped for Aaron HaKohen. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he starts, Eila Hadvarim, Moshe Rabbeinu is giving a hesped. Asher Diber Moshe, Moshe speaking harsh words, hespedim, El Kol Yisrael Be'ever HaYarden. And now he mentions eight locations, and among those eight, he starts with the Chet HaEgel and ends with the Chet HaEgel. And he talks B'derech Remes. And why B'derech Remes? Have your sefer called Dorash Mordechai. Okay, Dorash Mordechai was put together after the Petira of Rav Mordechai Druk. Rav Mordechai Druk was one of the biggest darshanim in Eretz Yisrael. He died very young. He died not that long ago, and they put out already from him five chalakim. And he has beautiful drush. And what I'm saying here is not even he does. I just came across his Derech Agaf. He says he makes note that in the time of Chazal, time of the Gemara, when they delivered hespedim, when a person died, the derech was your maspid, the derech remes. And he says, Pasach Aleh, he goes through the whole Gemara. This is not even relative to the sugya. He just talks about, he just brings out this point. He brings out the Gemara. The Gemara talks about different examples of hespedim. It says in the Gemara, Brachas Tach Samach Beis, Ahu Saftana, there was a eulogizer. The Nochis Kameid Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman died. And he gave hi, and he says words, code words. Hot Sanua Be'orchois, Be'orchois. That was the whole hesped. He was Sanua Be'orchoisav. Tsunu in his ways. The Gemara is the Pasach Ahu Saftana, Eret Shinar Hora, the Yolda Eretz Svi Gidla Shashusheha Oyno Lo Amra Rekes Ki Avda Klei Chemdase. Each one was a code. The Gemara gives goes on. The Gemara Moed Katan gives another example. The Gemara gives, he cites examples in the Gemara where the Gemara actually records the Hespedim of Talmidei Chacham Huda. Why does the Gemara record the Hespedim today? Because the Hespedim were words of Chachma. They were codes. They were very short. The Maspid got up. He said a few words. Each word was merames to lofty concepts which captured the essence of the person. It was the derech in the time of Chazal to deliver hespedim b'derech remes. Now that answers the question: why is Moshe Rabbeinu suddenly speaking b'derech remes? He's giving you eight places which represent seven sins. He starts Chedor Egel, ends Chedor Egel, and he's talking derech remes. Moshe is not from the shy people. Moshe Rabbeinu knows how to speak very well. Chumash Devarim is very explicit. Why here is he being meramis? The answer is, according to the approach of the Ramban, the Ralbach. Again, there are many dimensions. It's not lahalacha because we fast in Rosh Chodesh, but the Ralbach, Aaron died. He died behor hahor. Moshe's coming down. The whole Klal Yisrael is in a very great state of mourning. And we know that. We know that Chazal, they tell us that they mourn for Aaron. They didn't mourn for Moshe. They mourn for Aaron much more than they mourn, because Aaron was Oyev Shalom V'Oyev Shalom. Everyone mourned. For Moshe, only the men mourn. For Aaron, the whole Klal Yisrael mourned. The whole Klal Yisrael is here. And Moshe is delivering a hesped. And the hesped is the Derech Remes. And you know what that means? You know what he's then saying? What comes out? He's telling Klal Yisrael, you killed him. You know why he died? You killed him. Why does it start with the Chedo Egel according to the Ovis Rebbeinu Nassim with the Chedo Egel? What tarnished the legacy of Aaron HaKohen? The Chedo Egel. Who forced him to do the Chedo Egel? Who put a gun to his head? The Klal Yisrael. The Chur. They said to him, we have Nikinos in Yehoreg. Kohen v'Navi, if they'll kill a Kohen v'Navi like Zechariah ben Yehoyad, that's one of the major kinas, the Tisha B'Av coming up, one of the major kinas, in Yehoreg, half the kinas focus on Zechariah ben Yehoyad. He was the Kohen and the Navi, and he was killed in the Beis HaMikdash. Aaron said, if they kill me, it'll be Kohen v'Navi, it'll be all over Klal Yisrael, it'll be a Korban, it'll never do nothing. Klal Yisrael forced. And then, because of the Chedor Egel, we'll start with the Chedor Egel, we'll end the Chedor Egel, and we'll also enumerate more sins. I'll only say Derech Remes. Moshe Rabbeinu was delivering a eulogy, and part of his eulogy he was telling Klal Yisrael, you know who you have to blame for the patira of Aaron? No one but yourself. You killed him. You forced him to do the Chedor Egel, and in the wake of that came all these other averos. And it's also I saw Pinchas Shriban, he says in a totally different area, he says, what does it mean when we say we're going to sing Echa Esol Levadi Tarchachem Umasachem Derivachem? Why do you have to say the word Levadi? If the Pasuk would have been written, Echa Esa, how could I bear Eschem? Echa Esa Eschem, Torchachem, Masachem, Berichem. No one would have paid any attention. It says Levadi. What does it mean, Levadi? Of course it means Moshe alone. It means now that Aaron has died. This is all part of the Hespit. Until now, Moshe v'Aaron, the Choyanov, Moshe and Aaron Shekulim, they carried the nation together. Moshe's partner has died. Aaron was the Oyev Shalom, the Roydev Shalom. Now that Aaron, the Oyev Shalom, the Roydev Shalom has died, Eicha Esa Levadi. How can I carry alone, Levadi alone, without my brother Aaron? I'm missing the one that brings peace. And now that there's no peace, is going to be Torchachem Umasachem V'rivchem, three different expressions of strife, and Machloik is going to break it among Klal Yisrael because Aaron died. The whole Chumash Tevarim now takes on a whole new look. It's a hesped for Aaron HaKohen. And the thrust of the hesped is, you have no one to blame for their death but yourself. You would... Achav Dir Saran. So it fits very well into this idea. Now, the only thing that, you know, when I was came upon this, it just struck me how sad it is that we're reading this Musar. The Musar, the hesped of Aaron HaKohen, and the blame and the Musar that Moshe is giving Derech Remez to Klal Yisrael, that we're responsible against the backdrop of the horrors that are taking place now in Eretz Yisrael. These last 2-3 weeks we've buried, last I've seen, 61 Kedoshim, 61 young people. Many of them never married. They didn't get married. They have no children. They have no wife. They don't have anyone to say Kaddish for them. People will say Kaddish, but they don't have any children to say Kaddish. They gave up their lives, Al Kiddush Hashem, for who? For who do they give up their lives? For us. For us sitting here. So that we should have an Eretz Yisrael. That we can go and visit. We can go on an air-conditioned plane, El Al, legroom, comfortable, we serve 3 meals, have a movie, have all the milas, and come to Eretz Yisrael. That's who they gave up their life for. So that we in Chutz Li'aretz can raise our heads, that we're also people. We all know good and well that if there was no Eretz Yisrael, there was no Medinas Yisrael, a Jew living in Chutz Li'aretz would not have the courage to pick up his head. We would be persecuted, we would be pushed around like cockroaches. And the only reason any Jew living in any corner of the world has the chutzpah to live, to actually just live, is because, you know, we're also people, there's a Medinas Yisrael. And these 61 people gave up their lives for us. And it's not just them. Think about their families, their extended families. Think about the hundreds of people who are injured. Some of them are permanently injured. Their lives will never be the same. Their families will never be the same. All for us. And the question is, are we really worth it? Are we really worth it? Have we done anything? Have we changed our lives in even the smallest way that we can say that their sacrifice was meaningful? It's a very painful reality. And this message is being expressed to us, is being told to us, with the first words of this week's parsha. Aaron HaKohen died. Aaron HaKohen was the Oyev Shalom, the Roydev Shalom. There's no one that did more for Klal Yisrael than Aaron HaKohen. And he just died. Moshe buried him. The Hor HaHor. Hor HaHor represents, he was the greatest of the great. He was buried on a mountain that's on top of a mountain. He was buried with the greatest honor. And Moshe comes down and says to Klal Yisrael, Ela HaDvarim, let me now give a hesped. I'll give a hesped, Kederech HaMaspitem, Bederech Ketzara. But in my hesped, before I go and I tell you about Aaron, let me just make it clear. Who is responsible? Whose sins have brought about his death? It's you. It's no one to blame. Take the blame for yourself. It's your responsibility. You made him do the egel, the beginning, the end, and everything in between. It's your responsibility, and it's something that you have to take responsibility. You have to do something about it. You have to change your life. You have to wake up and at least, to some degree, live a different life, that his sacrifice and the sacrifice of all the people that gave up for us was meaningful, should have an effect upon us. Okay, with that idea, let me just leave with a positive note, something a little bit more pleasant. To conclude with a short remez. It says here, 11 days. Achad Osar Yoim. Moshe Rabbeinu begins the Musar 11 days. Mechoyrev Derech Har Seir Ad Kodesh Barnea. So the Chassidisha Darshanim, they tell us that this Pasuk, Pasuk Beis, the second Pasuk in Chumash Tavarim, is really a remez for the Bein HaMetzarim, for Tisha B'Av, that it was always within the week of Tavarim. 11 days, Mechoyrev, the Darshan, we mourn for the Beis HaMikdash 11 days a year. The 9 days, there are 11 severe days of mourning. The nine days, plus Shiva Asa B'Tamuz, the beginning of the Bein HaMetzarim, we fast, and Asara B'Teves. Even though Tzom Gedalia is also a little bit, but it's a different league. But the beginning of the siege, the beginning of the Churban really began on Asara B'Teves. So it's 9, 10, 11. 11, Achad Asar Yom Mechorev. Chorev comes from the word Churban. There are 11 days that we focus, we are forced to spend time and reflect upon the Churban. And this Churban that we reflect upon is Derech Har Seir, as we find ourselves traveling in Golus Edom. Seir is Edom, and this long Golus from the Churban by Yesheni, we're now under the control of Edom, which is Seir, the Derech of Chaim through Seir. There are 11 days. Ad! But you have to be mechazik yourself. It's not forever. Ad Kodesh, until you come to Kodesh Barnea. Kodesh means the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, Mikdash Lam Lushan of Kodesh, until the time when we will be Zocha once again to see the Geula, the Mikdash, and the Geula Shleima shall come in the Mehira of Yomeinu. Amen.